Boker Tov, and we continue another exciting day in Perek HaZahav of Bava Metzia. Our day's daf is daf Nun Hei. We've even got Abba with us, so it's one of these smiling days. And we're ready to start on Nun Daled Amud Beit, where we were holding in the middle of the sugya of the din of Hegdesh Sheni in terms of Tosefet Chomesh. Now you'll recall that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was Bechadish that on Hegdesh Rishon, meaning the primary Hegdesh that someone had created, on that you're Mosif Chomesh, because Hamagdishoto is what it says, but not Hamatfisoto. So Hegdesh Sheni, which is a second order of Hegdesh that comes after transferring Kedusha from something that was previously Hegdesh onto something else. If you're going to be put into something else, then there's no din of Tashlume Chomesh at all. So we're in the middle of really of the drasha and how it is that we know all of this stuff. And there was a very curious braita that didn't seem to make any sense at all, that a Tana had said in front of Rabbi Elazar, if you recall, which was, we darsh in the pasuk, v'im ba'behimah hatmeya upada berkecha. So that if somebody had been magdish a behemat meyah, which undoubtedly is given to the Berakabai, it's not for them to use as they wish. There's not much that they can do with it. They certainly can't turn it, compress it into building stones or anything like that. So they'll sell it. Okay. So the transfer of the hegdish onto the money is, I understand, the hegdish rishon, it could be, but what the Braita said in front of Rabbi Elazar was that just like a behemat meyah miyuchedet, just like it's unique, in that it's Tchilat Hegdesh, and it's Kula L'Shamayim, and you're Mo'alim, but of course we asked yesterday, none of that may really make sense, but we hadn't gotten to the last question, which was the first point. The first point that the Braita made, an assumption, which was an absurd assumption, that a Behemat Me'ah, by definition, has got to be something that is Tchilat Hegdesh. Where the heck does that come from, asked the Gemara. So let's take a look now at the Gemara that discusses that Tana. Omar le Ravashi Ravina. Well, the last line. Omar le Ravashi Ravina. Excuse me, but behemat meyah betchilat hegdesh ita demtza hegdesh leta. I don't understand why you're assuming that a behemat meyah is necessarily tchilat hegdesh. Now, until now, we haven't talked about emtza hegdesh. We've talked about hegdesh rishon and hegdesh sheni. For purposes of this conversation, however, we need to introduce a new term, as you'll see in a moment. And that is, remember, there's going to be two types of Hegdesh Sheni. There's Hegdesh Sheni, for instance, suppose you had a behemah that belonged to the Mizbeach, it got a mum, and now you reported that behemah on another behemah, let us say. That is Hegdesh Sheni. But it's not only Hegdesh Sheni, it's Sof Hegdesh. Because that behemah can be brought on the Mizbeach directly. It's not a stand-in for something that is monetary value that will then be further along transferred to a coin. Masha Inkin, when you're talking about the case of the Behemat Meyah, which was not Kaddish for the Mizbeach, and now you were Matfis the Kedusha on one Behemat Meyah onto another Behemat Meyah, you can't call that Sof Hegdish, because you're not going to use the second one either. But, I mean, it's certainly secondary. So, for purposes of distinguishing between a secondary Hegdish, that is to say a Matfis, onto something else, a secondary Hegdish, and a tertiary Hegdish, which Lamaisa could be viewed as that which will ultimately be brought on the Mizbeah. So we speak about it as if there's a middle stage between the primary and the tertiary, which is not really true. You know, obviously the second thing could go directly on the Mizbeah, it's not tertiary. It's just the Sof. So we have the Sof of Hegdish, the Tchilas Hegdish, and the Emtza Hegdish. To refer to a case of Hegdish Sheni that will never be Sof Hegdish, we'll call it Emtza Hegdish. It's just a clear-cut terminology. So now that we have the terminology clear, let us listen to what Ravashi says to Ravina. Are you trying to tell me that a behemah tameya is always a primary hegdesh? Can't it be an emtza hegdesh? Even though I understand you can't bring it on the mizbeach, it'll never be a sof hegdesh. But, I mean, emtza hegdesh leta? So who's to say that the pasuk that's talking about, im ba behemah tameya, how do you know that that's not referring to an emtza hegdesh? You originally had something that was of value to hegdesh. You needed to buy it back from hegdesh. So you bartered a behemah tameya for that thing. Now you're claiming that that braita is teaching us that clearly that's not what the pasuk is referring to. You would not be chayav chomesh for that. Well, I don't get it. Why not? All it says in the pasuk is a behemah tameya. Did it say how the behemah tameya got there? Omar lei. Ah, but you see, I mean, we're agreed, Lefish Einam is Sof Hegdesh. It can't be the last stage. So that's really what the Braita is saying. Amalei Ravach B'Difter Ravina. You haven't answered my question. The question was, if the Behemah Tameah can be an Emtza Hekdesh, so then that means that the Pasuk is saying that both primary and secondary items need to be paid a chumash for when you're pona. Who cares whether it's Besof Hekdesh or not? What kind of answer is that? So the Behemah Hekdesh Mi'ayita. So then Losiv Nami Chumash. So then that can be an explanation of the meaning of the verse that says, Im Ba Behemah Tameah, whether it is primary or secondary Hekdesh, you have to pay a chumash if you're pona. The Brit is still saying something that doesn't make any sense. And you're throwing these mysterious words at me. Well, it isn't Besof Hekdesh, as if that's important. The point is that it has Harehu Kisof Hekdesh. That's the point over here is that for all intents and purposes, it's the terminal stage. Because if you're talking about a Behemah Tameah, it will never be anything beyond secondary Hekdesh. So a secondary Hekdesh that can never be consummated is by definition, that's the end of the process. This is the end of the line. So Memela, as the end of the line, it fits the other definition of the end of a line. Hekdesh, which will be consummated on the Mizbeah. That's another form of Sof Hekdesh. Tell me something. Can Sof Hekdesh be b'chayev you an opinion of Chomesh? No, because there's no way to be put in Sof Hekdesh by definition. Sof Hekdesh means this animal's going on his back, which means that it's tamim, there's no problem, it's ready to be brought. Okay, so then you can't be poda. So if Sof Hekdesh can't be poda, obviously there's not going to be a din of chomesh on it, which means that the final stage is not redeemable with a chomesh. And therefore, this being the final stage is not redeemable with a chomesh. I mean, it's redeemable, but not with a chomesh. Because in that sense, it's similar to the last stage. Now, you must admit that that's a very specious argument. I mean, the reason that you're not buzzing chomesh on the Sof Hekdesh, which is the end of the line, is because you can't be paid it. But over here, since you can be paid it, doesn't it make more sense to compare it to the primary Hekdesh, not to some theoretical Sof Hekdesh? It isn't really Sof Hekdesh. Let's see all that inside. Omalei. The meaning is it's like the end of the line. I mean, just like Sof Hekdesh ain't a Mosif Chomesh by definition. So Av Emtza Hekdesh ain't a Mosif Chomesh. That's what I'm saying. I don't even need a Pusik to tell me don't pay a Chomesh because I there's no way for me to be voted. Omele Rav Zutra, Breder of Mori Lervina. Boy, that is a weird argument. I mean, my Chazita, Dibidamita Leila Sof Hekdesh. Why in the world would you compare a secondary Hekdesh of a Behemah Tameah to the end of the process of Hekdesh, where it's not a Behemah Tameah, and can be brought on the Mizbeah, and cannot be Padui, it doesn't make more sense than the Nidmaya Letzchilat Hekdesh. I mean, it's much more similar to the primary Hekdesh than it is to the end point of a Hekdesh that's going to be brought on the Mizbeah. It represents money that is meant to be translated into money. No, that's exactly what the Tchilas Hekdesh was of the Behemah Tameah. Omar Leh, I'll tell you why. Because it's mistavra. If you look at this in a purely abstract sense, it's similar to Sof Hekdesh. Shekain, I'll tell you why. The most important criterion over here is it's a nitvas. I believe that anything else that you tell me is never going to be as powerful a comparison as the fact that it did not come from a source of Kedusha directly. Nobody made it Kodesh. They just transferred a pre-existing Kedusha to it. All I'm saying is that the transference of a pre-existing Kedusha is similar to Sof Hekdesh. That's all I'm saying. So it's similar in that sense, and that's the most fundamental sense. Why? I mean, I can say that Adarabba L'Tchilas Hekdesh Avalei D'Dmui. What's the most fundamental sense? Whether it is going to be turned into value in a different format. I mean, we are talking about pidyon. Sof Hekdesh, by definition, will not be turned into Kedusha in a different format. That's what makes it Sof Hekdesh. Tchilas Hekdesh, by definition of the process, means something that was turned into something of other value. We're calling it the Tchila because now it needs to be transferred into something else. Okay, so the middle stage? The middle stage is the same as the first stage. It's aimed to be turned into something else. What exactly is a Behemah Tameah going to be? You're going to put it into a compressor, turn it into a brick, put it into the binyan. For better gabayit, is that what you think? Obviously not. So what are you going to do with it? You're going to sell it. You're going to take that money and you're going to pay the workmen that are building and that, or whatever. Okay, so it's basically exactly the same as the first stage, not as the last stage. So it's a dover sheyesh acharei kedusha. Let me learn that from a dover sheyesh acharei kedusha. That's what it means. You're right. The truth is that there's been a hidden meaning all along in the words of the Braita that are bringing the din from a behemoth man. You know what it's all about? It's about the famous drasha of Rava. Kiri Amar Rava. What Rava was talking about over here was the din of the Seder of the Yom, of the Korbanos. In the Seder of the Yom of the Korbanos, it says, Ha'esha ha'mizbeach tukadbo, bir alea koen, eitzim baboke baboke, v'arach alea ha'ola. Doesn't say varakaleh ola. Varakaleh ha'ola. Says Rava, you know what that means, that extra hey, varakaleh ha'ola? To tell me that you cannot bring anything else before this specific ola. The first. So that the hey implies primary, by definition. Because there's no other way to view it as being central other than the fact that it was primary. So since it's the first thing you're going to do, you're forced to conclude that the pasuk is bedavka telling you, listen here, buddy, this is the first thing you're going to do. Anything else in the course of the day follows the ola. Right? Okay. It says the same thing over here, for no discernible reason. V'im ba'behema ha'tameya. What is this here? I mean, it sounds like it's written in Gothic letters. Ha'behema ha'tameya. What's that supposed to mean? It's a behema ha'tameya, not a behema ha'tameya, unless we can identify it as being primary. How do we define it as being primary? Hegdash Rishain. But if it's a second order, just a plain behemoth mea, not ha behemoth mea that you were minded, then indeed the dinim of this pasuk, which include the tosefet of the chomesh, are irrelevant. There you go. That's what we really meant. So what we're saying is just like the behemoth mea that is referred to in the pasuk, not in general, a behemoth mea is always like this rishon, but the behemoth mea referred to in the pasuk is ha behemoth mea, which is the primary one. So to all din of opinion are only on primary hegdash and not fasa. Beautiful. See that inside? Kidamar Rava, ha'ola, ola rishona, ha'chinami ha'tmeya, tmeya rishona. Brilliant. The sensitivity, gentlemen, to words, to nuances. Listen to what your ears hear, and then you'll see that that's what the pasuk is talking about. Get caught up. Just in fact, you think I'm making an assumption when I say behemoth tmeya can only be a primary? Of course not. Tanya Kavati to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's chiddush that the din is that there's no Tosefet Chomesh on secondary Kedusha, on Hegdash Sheni. Pora zo tachat pora shal Hegdash. Here the Braita says. Somebody brings along a pora. He says, okay, I want to pay now for this pora of Hegdash, which is better Kabayi. I want to pay for it using this pora. Or I want to bring this talit, but it doesn't give it any value. We don't know its value. We're going to have an assessor look at it. Talit zu tachat talit shel hegdash. I want to be put at this talit of hegdash with this other talit. What's the din? The din is hegdesho padui. And now, of course, we always take things to an assessor. Okay. If the assessor comes out with a different value, what happens then? Yad hegdash ala aliyona. I'll tell you what happens. If it's worth more than the thing that he was buying, that's great. Hegdash keeps it. If it's worth less, he's going to pay the difference. That's yad hegdash ala aliyona. But suppose the guy says beferush, pora zu b'chamesh shlaim. The pora that you've got, I'm going to pay 5 shlaim. I'm going to pay those 5 shlaim with this pora. Now that means that I am telling you that I'm only giving you chamesh shlaim for it. Or talit zu b'chamesh shlaim tachat talit shel hegdash. Then again, the hegdash is padui. That's true. But there we don't say that yad hegdash ala elyona. There's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. What do we mean by there we don't say? Rashi says, well, we don't say that he doesn't have to be mosif if it's that hegdash gets to keep it. But obviously, he'll have to be mosif if it's worth less. Tosfos says, no, he won't have to be mosif if it's worth less either. Because the din is, if you went ahead and you were pota hegdash, even shava mon on a shava pruta, you took $1,000 worth of hegdash and put it on a shava pruta, it's still chal. So this guy is saying, I am paying chamesh shloim. That's all I'm paying. So I want to be paid it on chamesh shloim of this. That's it. It's in here. So in that case, we can't make, he's telling you, this is what I am giving you, okay? Either you're going to take this as chamesh shloim or not. It's not worth chamesh shloim. You took it. Leave me alone. So basically, I was paid it on less. And we accept that. B'diavad. You did it. You accepted it. You don't even have to make it up in either direction, according to Tosfos. Continues the Braita, and this is, of course, the words that we've been waiting to hear. Al hegdesh rishon mosif chomesh, al hegdesh sheni ein mosif chomesh. Cannot make it any clearer than that. Here's a Braita that tells us the din of Rabbi Yeshua. Continues. I assume that that was because you wanted to say Zot Tehele Kedisha. You don't want to give us the Yiddish. Don't know the Yiddish.
Is that considered a Gazmanida when you do that?
No, because it's basically a din in transferring Kedusha, not really value, transferring value. It doesn't have the din of Re'eyu, Lotono, Yishat Amito. It doesn't have
the
din.
It doesn't take it off, it takes it off of the first one.
Right. That's what's important to us. Okay. Continues now the Halakha Mishnah. We've been talking about values and the way in which balut, transactions, and all types of interesting legal concepts require a nature of balut on value in order to be meaningful. And that's been the topic of this Masechta, starting at the very beginning, even with the Avedah. So how do we define that value? What do you have in it? How do you have to exercise in it? It's turned out that again and again, we've been looking at a concept of minimal value. Now, we started when we were talking about onah, what is considered to be the variance in value that creates onah, right? So, although we said, says the Mishnah, and the opening of the Mishnah is very problematic, the Gemara is going to say, you're just repeating the Mishnah we just had. Onah arba'a kesev, v'atana shtei kesev. Now, that's true, that the onah is 4 out of 24, which is the shtut. Don't take that to mean that the ona'ah, minimal value of ona'ah is arba kesef. That's what it's going to turn out to mean. The concept of ona'ah is a ratio in value, but it's not an absolute value. The absolute value of ona'ah may turn out to be a pruta. The relative value of the part that was the ona'ah to what the real value was is a shtut. That's a whole different issue. There we're talking about ratios. We're not talking about an absolute value. Hata'ana. Now, there's also another issue where we have to deal with a ratio. And there we have the concept of motive of mixas, right? Very similar in that I'm claiming X is what you owe me. You're claiming it's some ratio of X that I owe you. And that is called motive of mixata ta'ana. And over there, and only there, Bezdin is b'chay of you. But if you denied owing anything, then midiraita, you walk away. And I'm motzi mechaviro avaraya, you're being motzi. So the din over there in the ratio is also important. The ta'ana has to be a minimum of shtei kesef, which in the context of arba kesef out of 24 is referring to the ma'a, because there's 24 ma'ot here in this cella. So there has to be a minimal suit in court for shtei kesef, and then you have to deny part of that. And how much do you have to deny? A shavar pruta. Now there's a machlokas in Shvuot, between Rav and Shvuot, whether that means one pruta out of the shtei, or whether it means, no. There needs to be a suit for tuma, a hodah separately on a shavar pruta, and those are two different issues, or whether there is in fact a minimum that you have to also agree to. The minimum that you agree to might be shtei kesem. Minimum that you agree to might be shavar pruta. That's not a machloket that we have here, but that's a machloket in the Ikar Dinei Meshuata Dayanim. Now that I'm showing you that there's such a thing as a hoda'ah shavar pruta, there's other things in which the shavar pruta defines the nature of the transaction. For instance, ha'isha mitkadeshet b'shavar pruta. So we know that a woman, you cannot make kiddushin unless there's a shavar pruta value there. Ha'nehene, somebody who's nene from Hekdesh, b'shavar pruta. So ha'nene b'shavar pruta from the Hekdesh is ma'al, and now he's chayav and all the dinim of me'ila, including the korban hashem and so on. When it comes to an aveda, ha'motzei shavar pruta, you find an aveda that's worth a pruta, only at that point are you chayav la'achriz. Someone who is gozel at chavero shavar pruta, v'nishbalo. If you recall, there was a special halacha of getting it back to him. V'natan l'asher hashamlo. I don't care where he is on earth. Follow him to the ends of the earth to return it, which is not normally a chiyuv on a gazlan. It's only a gazlan who was makhish with a shvu and then was made a. They're the tariff for kapora. You're looking for kapora, you must undo the deed. And the guy has to know you gave it back to him, not stam you deposited in Bezdin or put it back in his reshus without his knowledge and so on. So these now are five unique situations of different types, as we'll see what makes them different types. And all of them are a din in a shavar pruta. Says, I don't get the opening of that Mishnah. Tanina chodazimna. That was the opening of the previous Mishnah. Oh, na arba kesem, yasrim arba kesem lasela, shtut lameka. Why'd you say it? Well, because I'm introducing the concept of ratios. And over here, hata'ana Shtei Kesef Avada Shava Pruta, which I did not previously say. It's Trichalei, I do need to say that, and that introduces the relationships of ratios to objective values. So I start off by saying the first ratio we've discussed. Then I say, okay, there's also a ratio in terms of Shava Pruta to the Shtei Ma'ot. Now that Shava Pruta turns out to be an objective value, not just a ratio, which I did not see in the case of the Ona'a, which the Gemara is going to be bothered by. And what about the Ona'a? How about that? I mean, why not describe a minimum value for Ona'a? Fine. That is indeed a problem. It's a very strange Mishnah. Starts with a ratio, never follows through to tell us the absolute value that's involved in that ratio. You chose Ma'ot. Was it really about Ma'ot? Or could it have been Prutot? One Prut out of six? Or no, that's not enough. I don't know. You left me hanging on that one. Now you go into the second case. Okay, so you're telling me I need to introduce the second case. Is it going? Excuse me, but you don't need to introduce the second case because the second case is a Mishnah in Masechet Shavuot. I'm not so stupid that I don't know that Mishnah. So even that's Ahanami Tanina. What do you mean it's Trichle? I need it. You don't need it. That's a Mishnah, isn't it? Shavuot HaDayanim HaTa'ana Shtei Kesef VaHoda'a Shava Pruta. Now, I'm not saying I need the ruling. I'm saying I need that part of the introduction to move into Prutot, which is the last part of the Mishnah. In other words, once I say those words, I can now say, and there are indeed five cases in which there's an objective value of a Pruta. So in order to say that, I need to move from the Din of Avonah that I've been discussing through the segue of the Din of Motiv Mitzvah, which of course is also a fundamental question of how we relate to value in terms of ratios, mind you. Again, let's just consider the implications of the idea of Ona'a. The idea of Ona'a tells me a very surprising thing, if you think about it. But it's something that our psychology takes for granted all the time and makes all kinds of strange decisions when it comes to it. For instance, you're buying a car. You've searched around for how much you're going to pay for this car, looked at the consumer's reports, got into all kinds of websites. You're paying absolutely the minimal that you could pay on this car. Now, the guy says to you, but if you add just $1,000, we're going to give you the deluxe package, which includes the radio and the leather trimming and so on. Now, never in a million years would you pay $1,000 for a radio, even with leather trimming. But you're buying already a car. It's costing you $25,000. Nafkamina, another $1,000. That's where the money is for the dealer. Because every idiot goes in there and says, well, I paid so much money anyway. What the heck? You're buying a house. Okay, this is the price of a house. Yeah, I can handle a house. I mean, once you're buying a house, don't you want the better quality tile, which is only another $20,000? Yeah, I mean, I'm spending $400,000. Like, you'd ever spend $20,000 to get nicer tile? Never. So, in other words, our relationship to value is not always objective. Our relationship to value is as a proportion of some other value. So, interestingly enough, if somebody's going to cheat you, okay, what's he cheating you on? So, he's cheating you on the car. I paid $500. $500 you threw out there? You don't care, $500. Well, it wasn't Shtuta Mecca. Who cares if it's Shtuta Mecca? That's a heck of a lot of money. You know what you could have done with $500? But it's the same thing. The same way that he's going to charge me for the radio, he overcharged me a little for the car. Okay, may let him up. Masha Inkin, obviously, if you're buying five sticks of gum, and he's charging you now for another 2 pennies. What kind of chutzpah is that? Come off it, man. The 2 pennies is the issue? So at some point, we need to discover what is the objective value of Ona'a and what is the prorated value of Ona'a. Now that's true, Lagabe. Perhaps Lagabe the Motiv Mitzvah also. Interestingly enough, when it comes to Motiv Mitzvah, it's an absolute value, not really a proportionate value, even though there's two values. So there is a certain basic level of concern in the court for how much are we talking about. But once we get there, how much of it are you denying? Or what's the total value of the denial? And a chinami could be a pruta. Again, so this is an extremely important segue. I'm not looking for an excuse to go from Ona'a to pruta, you see. I am really showing you the elements that are taken into consideration of balut and your relationship to your money. And therefore, what the Gemara has done is, we don't need the first part of the Mishnah. Yes, we do. Ratios. But we already heard the second part of the Mishnah. That's true. But this is the first time in which a ratio is defined also with an objective value. Now let's hear about objective values, Chamesh Prutos, okay? So that's the structure of the Mishnah. Chamesh Prutot asks the Gemara the obvious question. Isn't the main point here, what we've been discussing, Ona'a, isn't the main point to tell me whether there is at least a minimal objective value to Ona'a? In other words, at what point are people so sensitive to a ratio that since they've been cheated 2/1/6, that's the ratio of being cheated. I have been cheated. I mean, you were cheated on your bubble gum. So you're telling me you paid a half a pruta extra. You bought 5 packs. On each pack ended up a half a pruta being cheated.
We say 2 is
not so... so that's the question. So don't you have to tell me that? That there is a minimal value on the ona'a, not just a ratio? So you leave that out. You introduce the mission with ona'a. Move on to the dinamotiv and say, you never told me what the din is of ona'a. That's a little outrageous in terms of structure, isn't it? So that's the first thing you should have written. Litne nami ona'a pruta. Omer of Kana, there is no other possibility but to conclude a very dramatic truth from this. If the Mishnah introduces the din with ona'a and never says, and the minimal objective value of an ona'a is a pruta, it's because it's not true. That's why it doesn't write it. You see from here, Zot Omeret, in ona'a l'prutot. It's clear that there is a point at which people cannot claim they've been cheated. It's just not worth enough money to deal with in terms of cheating. What then is the minimum shear? So the Rush, which is the most striking, reasonable approach, says, well, obviously, that would be the reason that we would have chosen Arba Kesev out of 24 to tell me that it's a din in Mo'ot. Why are you using Mo'ot as a symbol? Just because it's convenient, since there's a coin of 24, so that now I can easily refer to 4 of them. I mean, otherwise we're going to have to get into galleons and knuts and God knows what. I mean, the only case we have of such a coin, except for the wild Brits, the only case that we have of such a coin, is that, no, this is the actual value. So that the Mo'ot indeed is the coin that you use for a minimal value in the relationship to ona'a. Rashi says the iser, because since we're moving off of the pruta, we go to the iser, because the pruta is always defined in terms of iser. Kamiya pruta echa mishmini bisari talki. So that indeed, according to Rashi, the use of the ma in the Mishnah is only the convenience of the coin that allows us to take the 4 out of 24. Fine. So from here, that's what I conclude, says Levi. That's crazy. I don't accept that. Levi omar yesh ona'a l'pruta. It's not true. We never find another minimal value. And look, Levi, who we've seen many times, structured his own Mishnah, which became Braitot. In Levi's structure of the information, it read, this equivalent Mishnah, in Levi's Mishnah, read like this. Very different. Chomesh prutot hein. Ho'ona'a pruta. Ha'hoda'a pruta. Kidushe isha pruta. Gezel bepruta. Woo! Whoops, and he substitutes for the Me'ila Pruta, Yeshivata Dayanim Pruta. A court will not be called into session on a case that involves less than a Pruta. Okay, so now that you've said that, then now I'm really stymied, because before I start talking about what's Levi going to do with the Ona'a problem, how does he explain our Mishnahs leaving out Ona'a? I mean, we're immediately struck with the fact that our Tana has left out a rather important halacha, which is that value is value on an objective level, even for the court system. We won't deal with a case that involves less than a shavar pruta. So how come our Tana left that out? V'tana didan, my time aloka tani yeshivata dayanim. The Rush indeed says that your natural inclination at this point would have been, okay, so then what is the explanation of leaving out ona'a? The reason that I explain it this way is because indeed, says the Rush, that's the point. This is so fundamental, we'd rather ask this question, and in the answer that we give to this question, now have a general answer which would include ona'a as well. So, what does our Tana do with that? Asks the Gemara. Tana didan, my time, aloka tani yeshivata dayanim, which is very fundamental and seems to be a new set. No, says the Gemara, it isn't a new set. Tanale gezel. So it's tanale gezel. What does that have to do with it? It says gezel and it says avida. I mean, you're going to say what? Because we discussed money that has to do now with things that come to court, and we're talking about values, and you can say the same thing about avida. Once I've told you that a man owns something that's worth a shavar pruta, how do I tell you that? By the din of gezel. You stole something that's worth a sheper pruta, and now you're going to have to deal with it in terms of the dinim of shvua, and so on and so forth. Therefore, why should I bother telling you that the yeshivata dayani? Great. So therefore, why tell me aveda? Don't tell me aveda. Say, the Torah says to give back something that another guy owns. Aha. So I just explained to you, owns means the sheper pruta in terms of gezeila. If that was good enough for yeshivata dayanim, it's certainly good enough for the aveda. So why did you mention Avedah? Clearly, you don't view the set of the nature of ownership as being the set that the Mishnah is discussing here. Okay, so says the Gemara, how do you explain the fact that it says both Gezeilah and also Avedah, which according to you shouldn't have happened? Says the Gemara, Umilo, Katani Gezel, Katani Avedah. No. There, indeed, there are two different sets. And I'll tell you why they're different sets that have nothing to do with the normal dinim of Baalut. Each one is discussing something unique. For instance, is it not true that the din of Gezel is machayev you to be olicheno afilo lamadai, if you were Gozel nishpal shekar amayda? Now that's not a din of Baalut, correct? It's not a din of Baalut, it's a din of kapara. So I'm not going to use the din of Gezel as a stand-in for all Baalut. It's true you can derive from there that Baalut is Gezel. I need to state that case, which is unique. There is no other case in which I have to see to it that another person asserts his Baalut in person, on location, except where I'm dealing with the concept of Kapara, which is only stated in terms of Gezel. So that is definitely unique. She says, okay, but I mean, wouldn't that include the Aveda? No, it would not. Because how about a case where I find something that's worth a Shavar Pruta, and I go to my computer and I'm writing up the found sign, and as I'm on my way to hang up the found sign, I pass by a place where they're selling two of these for a pruta. So now I say to him, oh, okay, so it's not worth a shavu pruta. I know yesterday it was. What's the din? The din is it goes according to the Avedah, not according to the Akrasat. I don't need to know that. That's not a din in reassertion of Baalut, because the Baalut couldn't be chana on pocket b'shavu pruta anyway. So now it has to do with the actual thing. Okay, so I need to know that. Even though it has to do with the thing, it's still a din in a shavu pruta. A very, very fascinating interaction between thingies and their value, which has been an underlying problem throughout Nezikin. Value is an analog, and still, nonetheless, relating to the thing in terms of defining chiyuvim on the thing. Fascinating issues going on here. So these are two different sets. I mean, I understand that. But certainly, I don't need to list a separate set of this court coming into session, do I? So it's certainly included under Gezel. I think would be true under Ona'ah. I mean, I will mention the most extreme example, which is Gezel. And I have to say Avedah because of this other halacha. But I'm not going to go to town and tell you every last thing. Yeshivat HaDayanim, Ona'ah, won't do that. Okay, so that therefore, he doesn't write Yeshivat HaDayanim. Let's see that all inside now. Says the Gemara, no, Gezel and Aveda I need to write. Anach Itzrichalei, Gezel, because of the din of Agozomika, Veroshav, Arput, Venishpalo, Yolichenu, Acharav, Afilu, Lamadai. Aveda I need to list to you because Amotze Aveda, Shav, Arputa, Chayav, Lachriz, Afagav, Dezal, even though now it's gone beneath minimal value. So it goes according to the fact that you found this as something that was valuable. That's the point. I need to say that. So how come Levi doesn't say that? Well, Levi, my time alotoni aveda bepruta. Well, because he says Gezel. Now again, obviously, that means, say the Rishonim, that he doesn't hold that if it was Zal, you'd have to return it. Notice that's what that Teretz is saying. I say that Gezel includes aveda, because I don't need to tell you a din that doesn't exist. Either the aveda is worth a shavu pruta or it's not. If it's not currently worth a shavu pruta, you don't have to return it. But wait. Gezel? I mean, the Gezela part is certainly going to be inclusive of Yeshivat HaDayanim, which is the answer we gave to the Mishnah. So why does Levi write Yeshivat HaDayanim where that's not important? No, because he was trying to make a very special point with Yeshivat HaDayanim. Yeshivat HaDayanim, it's Trichalei, Lafuki min Rav Katina. So Rav Katina holds. Don't Rav Katina. You don't need big things. The small things in life are important. Rav Katina. That Bezdin is Niskakin afilo pachot mishavu pruta. So you might have thought that the din of justice is unrelated to value. Justice means whatever is has to be in its proper. I don't care what it's worth. Maybe it's the small things in life that count. So Memela, the Mishnah has to say, no, this is a tremendous chiddush. Once Rav Katina brings it up, you see, it's a tremendous chiddush. Because now I recognize, I was taking into consideration, the only thing that courts are interested in is money. That's not true. Courts are interested in justice. So if courts are interested in justice, how did justice come to be defined by values of money? What do you mean, it's not important enough to be Oshev? It's my bobby pin. He has my bobby pin and I want it. You're telling me justice breaks down when it comes to bobby pins? Does that make sense? This is Rav Katina's time. So in the mail, I need to list this halakha separately because it certainly wouldn't be included in Gezel. Gentlemen, gentlemen, such excitement that all I see are half-shut eyes. Well, not all I see. Banea has his open ones pasted on.
Fully shut eyes.
How do you get excited about half a
pooka? Ah, oh. That's the point. That's the point, right? So... I need to mention that, don't I? Because I feel pachot b'shav aprut. The Levi. How come Levi? Okay, I now understand what's happening. But one thing I don't understand. What happened to Me'ila? I mean, he's got a whole different list, but he left out Me'ila. Certainly Me'ila is not included in any of the categories that were aforementioned. Well, you're right. Levi indeed leaves out Kachim completely. Because what he says is, I'm not interested in teaching you dinim that apply in an entirely different milieu. I'm interested in teaching you dinim that apply to secular interactions. But wait a minute. Hey, I got a good one for you. Artana obviously doesn't agree. He wants to tell you all qualities of pruta. So how come he doesn't mention that the din of Meiser is that Meiser is also Bepruta? That's what we've been discussing, interestingly enough, all along, before this Mishnah. The din of being Peda Meiser, being Peda Hegdesh, and being Meisif Chaimish, and all of that. How come he doesn't mention that? So Tana Didanda Kamayri Bekachim, why doesn't he mention Meiser Bepruta? Because he holds that actually, if you've got something of Meiser that's worth 3 Prutot, you can't be Peda. Why? Because the Chomesh isn't worth the Pruta. So he's going according to Man Yomer who holds that you have to have a Chomesh that's worth the Pruta in order to be able to do the Pidyon, and therefore you need to start with 4 Prutas. So what are we going to say? We'll include in the case of 5 Prutas saying something which is not a Pruta, which is 5 Prutas, 4 Prutas. So it's Man Yomer and the Chomesh Pruta. No. So then say the Chomesh of the Meiser has to be a Pruta. I mean, you're just talking about a different way of stating it, but I could still have 6 Prutas instead of 5. Ah! I'm talking about the Karen over here. I'm not talking about Chomesh. So in other words, that set of things that are not the value of an object, but are some proportion of the value of an object, the Mishnah is not discussing. That's the whole point of the Mishnah. What is a pruta that is objective, not defined in terms of something else? So again, lisnei Chomesh ma'aseh b'pruta, answer the Gemara, b'karna kamayre, b'chomesh lo kamayre. Getting now to Rav Katina, who said, justice shall be done for bobby pins. Goof. Amr of Katina. Bezin is Kakin. Afilo pachot mishava prut. Rava asks on this opinion of Rav Katina. We darsh in the pasuk. Ve'et asher chata min hakodesh yishalem. Ve'et chamishito yosef alav natanato lakohen. So what is this ve'et? Ve'et always adds. That's marbe pachot mishava prut. Ve'et. That you must return it to Hegdesh. Yes, indeedy. So what this tells us, therefore, that there are special criteria that apply to Hegdesh, where indeed, where you're dealing with Kedusha, over there it's not just a matter of value. It's a matter of getting things back to Hegdesh. You're going to have to pay up. But that's only LaHegdesh. This is the whole point of the pasuk. LaHegdesh in, ava LaHedyot lo. So that means there is no din that you can be sued to pay up something that's less than a shofar prutas. If you can't be sued, so how is Bezin going to be Yoshev? I mean, that's what the Pusik is saying. You're absolutely right. We really misrepresented Rav Katina. Eliyat Ma'achim. What Rav Katina really said was, if the court is in session due to a suit brought by Mr. X, and now Mr. X brings additional evidence in the course of the suit, that it is not only $10 million that this guy owes me, he also walked off with my bobby pin. And I want it back. That no good Nick's not walking out with anything of mine. Not my $10 billion and not my bobby pin. So we hold, the court says, look, the suit was for $10 million. Let's forget about the bobby pin. Rav Katina says, no. Once there's already a court that's in session, then anything can be added to that case. So, but the point is, what he's saying, im is kukub beit din l'shavu pruta. Once we start the case with the shavu pruta, we will be gomer the din even the pachot mishavu pruta. Because for tchilat din, in order to be able to bring suit to court, you need a shavu pruta, beinan pruta. But gemar din, lo beinan pruta. The case over there is indeed, you have to add that pachot mishavu pruta.
Maybe it's such a father that sort of.
Right. Now, you're right. We've been talking about prutas. And you didn't want to talk about the value of prutas in terms of chomshim. Let's discuss the chomshim. Because, again, the concept of a chomesh was fascinatingly introduced here in the context of a parak that is dealing with proportions of value and how they relate to your ownership. So another fascinating expression of that halacha is the need to pay a chomesh, which shows up again and again. And we know that that concept of paying a chomesh is fundamental to the nature. Fundamental to the nature. Fundamental to the nature of balut, because it's a din in the balim. The balim pay an extra chomesh. Now that implies something about 25% of an item being particularly a relationship to the way I will personally relate to my thing. And that's why we had that whole fascinating Mishnah in Erechin. How about if the balim bids X and another guy bids X, but he bids X plus 2. The Balaam has to go up to X plus 2 because he was already at X plus 25%, you see. So in other words, there's a different way in which the owner of a thing relates to the thing, which is involved in a chomesh. Now that means that chomesh speaks to us directly to the nekuda of balut in a thing, as opposed to the nekuda of simple value in a thing. You understand the implications? Massive implications, okay? Once that's true, if I'm dealing with avedah, that has to do with the nature of balut, I'm dealing with ona'ah, which has to do with the proportion, which I'm willing to tolerate in value. These things are interrelated, because what's the proportion of a value of a thing that I need to relate to? That's always called chomesh. Where does that chomesh show up? It shows up in pidyon, and it shows up in me'ilah, and it shows up in swearing falsely on gezeilah. Okay, let's list them. So says the Mishnah, chamisha chumshini. That proportion shows up in five places. Eloi, you're a zar that's ochel truma, b'shoge. When you replace that truma, you have to be a mosif chomesh. So, and again, it's not the first time in this parak that we have it. It's not coincidental. The ideas here are all intertwined throughout. These chomeshim have been here with us all along. It's not that we're bringing this in, agav chomesh prutas, I'll tell you chomesh chomeshim. No, siri. So we have, now somebody eats truma b'shoge. Or for that matter, trumat maaser, which is the same thing as truma. Or for that matter, even Trumat Maaser of Demai. Or for that matter, Chala, because Chala is also called Reishis, like Truma. Or Bikurim is also called Truma, Reishis. Any of those things, there's all included in the dinim of Truma, which you're most of home. So that's one.
For Pidyon.
For payback.
Payback.
Over there's not a dinim of Pidyon. I ate at Bishogeg, and now I'm paying back. I'm a czar. I ate. Not Gezela. There's another issue of gezela. The gezela element is the keren. There's a specific halacha to the kedusha of the truma that is bechayavi to pay something that is not part of value, but is something a part of what it is. Remember, that was the whole beautiful discussion we had yesterday about a guy who steals genevas, chayav kefel of truma. The kefel is totally in terms of value, but then if he eats it, now all of a sudden it switches from value to in of kedusha. You need to give equivalent volumes, which is worth more than the value of the truma on the open market, et cetera, et cetera. Remember? Okay, that's part of this halacha. So, that's one set of chomshim. Somebody's paying back for truma and all of its variants, including chala bikurim and truma's meiser. The second one is pidyon, but which pidyon? Pidyon of meiser sheni and neter avoy. That's all personally owned goods. Neter avoy, meiser sheni, shalom. And you are the Baalim. It's a special din in the relationship of the Baalim to the material, Mosif Chomesh. Somebody's going to Hegdesh to be part of Hegdesh. He's the Baalim. He's Mosif Chomesh. Somebody who was Nene Shavaprutim in a Hegdesh accidentally, in order to be Mitchaper, he's Mosif Chomesh. Somebody is Gozel at Chaver Shavaprutim in Ishbalo B'Sheker, and then is Moda all on his own, and wants a Kapora, he's Mosif Chomesh. Oh, my Rava. Something that bothered Reb Elazar about this, you recall that we just had recently the halacha that things that are nogea d'oraita, the Rabbanan, maybe were machmeron into my, things that were nogea d'oraita were machmeron into my. I mean, you're adding a chumash to someone who eats trumas meiser shel gemai, which really the d'oraita isn't even trumas meiser at all. It's all just plain chulin. I mean, why go to town to that extent? That's my problem. I mean, kasha Reb Elazar, trumas meiser shel gemai. Why would the chachamim make you pay a chumash? V'chiasu chachamim chizuk v'devrehem tishel Torah? Now, obviously, many times are the cases that we find that the Chachamim not only were also physically different to Shel Torah, but even Yoter Mishel Torah. What kind of weird question is this? Just tells us now. The question over here is, we will indeed be Machmer on the din and make it to Shel Torah if there is moral value in that thing. It's a getter of some kind. It serves the purpose of the Gezeirah itself. Fine, so then it makes sense that the Rabbanim will say, look, I mean, if the Torah makes such a getter, so we'll also make such a getter. Yes, that I will do. But we're going to say that something that is irrelevant, I mean, would it ever occur to you, a guy ate b'ta'ut, let us fine him. What? Let me fine him for that, but that doesn't make any sense. He ate something, he owes the money, he wouldn't pay it back. He didn't do anything wrong, he didn't realize anything. So you're saying, okay, but there's a gzeirat ha-katuv that makes no sense, that you're motzei chomesh. So you're going to apply gzeirat ha-katuv, which doesn't have any clear-cut moral value, and you're going to apply it to d'mai, which is this wild chumra of something that, according to all standards, is considered to be plain old-fashioned chulin, and you're saying a truma, which is now the truma's meiser of d'mai, should also be chay. I mean, I don't understand why we go that far. It's in the same way we don't make a gezeira like gezeira. We don't make an original gezeira to resemble something that it's not. So why would the chachomi be Isaac chizik l'dibrayim k'shel Torah? Omer of Nachon HaMashmol, well, this is the sheet of Rabbi Meir, you know, it's a Stam Mishnah. Rabbi Meir indeed holds that Asu Chachamim Chizuk L'Ivrahim Kishal Torah. Meaning that we do not have two sets of words used in different ways for the Rabbanan and different ways for the Oraita. What's the name of somebody who eats Truma B'Shogeg? He's Mosif HaChomesh. Okay. This is Truma. But is it really? I just told you. We're giving this a bit of Truma. Yeah, but I mean, surely you don't mean. What do you mean, surely I don't mean? How can it be truma and say, surely I don't mean? So either it is truma or it's not truma. So Rabbi Meir says, it's either consistent or it's not a takana at all. Therefore, it's always going to be nogea the diuritis, says Rabbi Meir. Because they did do things that indeed turned them into a ersetz halacha, as if it was kishon Torah, the tanya. Here, I'll give you an example. A maybe gate me that I am. What's the halacha? As we recall very well, you have to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. Now that is a wild takana. You know, it doesn't really mean anything that it was b'fanai nechtam. But because of it, he's going to take responsibility. We're going to ask him questions. He's going to know we're asking him. Yeah, great. So suppose he doesn't do it. What would you say? Well, it wasn't very good. Maybe we should give her another get, whatever. I don't know. No, says Rabbi Meir, the child's a mamzer. What? There's the implication saying the child's a mamzer because of some crazy takana? So Rabbi Meir says, somebody's maybe getting me that ayam, gives it to a woman, and he doesn't say, she has been illicitly married to the second guy's nations each. She's going to have to get divorced, never have anything to do with him. Any children that they had are mamzerim, dear Rabbi Meir. Hold on a second, what's the big deal? In a vlad mamzer, let them take back the get and give it again. With the right words. I understand what you're doing here. This time do it right, okay? What do you mean this time do it right? She's already pregnant. She's already. No, okay, it's not the end of the world. So now I ask you, according to Rabbi Meir, you're telling me, outrageously, Yotziva Vlad Mamzer? Yes, indeed. In Rabbi Meir, Latime. This is Rabbi Meir l'shitato, the Omer of Amnuna, Mishmei de'ula, Omer haya Rabbi Meir. Kola mishanet, mimadbeya shetav'u, chachamim begitin, yotzi, vavad mamzer. You want to do things your own way? When the chachamim define the nature of what a get is, that's what it is. There's no longer two sets of gitin. The diuraita gitin, the drabona gitin, either it is a get or it's not a get. If it's not a get, the child is a mamzer. That's all there is to it. There's no way for us to pretend that something is not a get. We can only give it, this is what a get now means, as defined. Okay, we need to zero in on this sheet of Rebbe Meir, because clearly it does not apply in any and all cases. And we'll get to see. Omer Vashar Arina, Beimat Meah, B'tchilat Hegdash Ita, B'emtz Hegdash Leta, Omer Leilafish, and B'sof Hegdash, Omer Leilafish, Omer Leilafish, Omer Leilafish, okay, so, but B'emtz Hegdash, Mea Ita, Lozif Zamin Chomesh, I'm like, well, Rebbe Sof Hegdash, Ma Sof Hegdash, Ena Mosif Chomesh, Af Emtz Hegdash, Ena Mosif Chomesh, Omer Leilafish, Rebbe Reina, Omer Leilafish, Mai Chazita, Dekama, Demita Leilafish, Sof Hegdash, why not be Madama, the Tchilas Hegdash? Pora zuba chamesh shlaim tachat pora shel hegdesh. Talit zuba chamesh shlaim tachat talit shel hegdesh. Hegdesho padui, but there we don't say yad hegdesh al elyona. Al hegdesh rishon mosif chomesh. Al hegdesh sheni en mosif chomesh, exactly like Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Ho ona'a arba'a kesev, ata anashte kesev, hoda'a shava pruta. Chomesh pruta saying actually, hoda'a shava pruta, isha mekadeshet b'shava pruta, Hanene b'shavar pruta min ha'ekdesh is moral. Ha'motzit shavar pruta is chayiv lachriz. Ha'gozel et chavero shavar pruta min ishbalo. And then he is meida yolekeni ha'chorav afil alamada. Now, tenino chodazimna. Ha'ona harba kesev yesevi harba kesev v'sela shtud l'meka. Ha'nash tekez v'da shavar pruta itztrich olay. But ha'nami tenino. Shvuat ha'dayanim ha'nash tekez v'da shavar pruta. Well, obviously, it's all needed for the safe of Chomesh Prutote. Chomesh Prutote, how come you left out on a Pruta? On Rivkana, Zotomerat, that there's taka no such halacha in on a la Pruta. Levi Amar Yesh on a la Pruta. Vachentani Levi Vadita, Chomesh Prutote, Auna Pruta, Oda Pruta, Gedusha Isha Pruta, Gezel Pruta, Yishveta Yanim Pruta. So how come Tani Dinama Tabela Kutani Shveta Dayanim? Well, Tonele Gezel. So, Milotani Gezel Kutani Aveda. Yeah, but Hanukkah is strictly. Gezel, Zegos, Mechaber, Shavu, Pruta, Menishmel, Yakuli, Kanu, Acharav, Afilu, Madai. And Avedah is Hamotzi, Avedah, Shavu, Pruta, Chayav, Lachriz, Afagav, Zal. For Levi, my time, Alotani, Avedah, Bepruta, Tani, Le Gezel. Umilo, Katani, Gezel, the Katani, Shivata, Dayanim. Yeah, Shivata, Dayanim, it's strictly. Lafikim, Rav Katina. Toma, Rav Katina, Beidin, is Katina, Filipam, Shavu, Pruta. The Levi, my time, alo katani, hegdash bechulin is ma'al, because hegdash rather, bechulin kamari, bekachim lo kamari. Elatani didan, the kamari, bekachim. Because he says be'ila, nitne ma'aser bepruta, kamani omer in bechum sho pruta. So then let's say chomish ma'aser pruta. No, because bekana kamari, bechomish lo kamari. Kukomer of katina, based in his cocking, a field of pachot, bishop of pruta. Motif rather. The eight ashechatam in a kodesh yishalem, the V8 is coming to Rabot, Bachot Bishavar Pruta Le Shabbat. And that's Tafka Le Kodesh. But Le Hedyot not, Elid Mahok Yitma, Omer of Katina Im, who's Kuku Beit Din already, to a suit of Bishavar Pruta, Gomrim Afil Bachot Bishavar Pruta, because only Tchilat Adin Min Pruta, Gumar Din Lo Beit Din Pruta. Chamishah Chum Shinein Elohim. Ha'okha Truma, or Truman Baaser, or Truman Baaser Dubai, or Chal, or Bikurim, is Mosif Chomesh. Ha'poden Netar Avoy, or Maiser Sheni, that it belongs to him, is Mosif Chomesh. Ha'poden Tegdesho, is Mosif Chomesh. Ha'nene Shover Pruta Ben Agdesh, is Mosif Chomesh. And Ha'gozot Chaver Shover Pruta Ben Ishbalo, and then his cousin Ramode, is Mosif Chomesh. Omar Rava. Kashel el rabalazet chumak maaser shel demay. I mean, come on. V'chiyasu chachomim. Chizuk v'devrayam kishel Torah. Om Rav Nachman Rav Shmuel, indeed. Omani Rabbi Meiri. The Omar asur chachomim chizuk v'devrayam kishel Torah. V'tanya mevi geit mibinat hayam. Natnu la v'lo amar la b'fanay nechtam v'nay nechtam. Yotzi v'avlad mamzer divrei Rabbi Meir. V'chachomim omrim. In a blood mamzer, ketzad yasi et lena mi mena v'yamzor in nala b'fin shnayim. V'yom marla b'fanay nechtam v'nay nechtam. What's the big deal? Lurbi Meir Mishum de Lo Amar La Befanaynichtam Befanaynichtam Yotshiva Vlad Bam. There's a little bit extreme. In Rabbi Meir Latayne the Omer of Amnuna Mishmei Ula Omer Haya Rabbi Meir Kol Meshane Mimadbeya Shetavu Chachamim Begitin Yotziva Vlad Mamzer.